This Roto Report is brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. Well, it's 1:03 in the morning as we tape this podcast, and my guest is the outstanding NBA beat writer for FoxSportsOhio.com, and that, of course, is Sam Amico. And Sam, just got done watching the NBA Finals, all the post-game press conferences. I ate a bowl of Captain Crunch, so I, let all this sink in and everything before we started this podcast and all of that. And I want to get your reaction to what you saw tonight and in this series, and then I'll give you mine. How surprised were you, A, that the Heat lost, and B, that they were dominated by the San Antonio Spurs?
Well, you know, going into the series, I told everyone Heat in six because San Antonio had the home court. I just thought Miami, you know, you always think Miami, they have LeBron, so you think that they're the superior team, but especially in a league of superstars. But, you know, after watching the first game, I thought, well, maybe it's time to reconsider, even when LeBron went out with the cramps. And then game two, I still thought, you know, game three, I thought would be a huge game, and San Antonio just had their way in Miami. And at that point, you know, you just think, here it is, team basketball trumping the superstars or the big names. And certainly not that San Antonio doesn't have their stars. It's just they play better together than Miami's big three, you know, with Ginobili and Duncan and Parker and now Kawhi Leonard. It was a bit of a surprise to me in the manner in which San Antonio dominated the series.
I had the Heat winning in six games as well. I picked them at the beginning of the season. I stuck with them throughout the playoffs. And after the first two games were split, I figured, all right, Heat are going to win in six. And the Spurs did not let them happen. It's amazing how inspirational revenge is, Sam, right? I mean, think about it. When LeBron, his first year in Miami, lost to Dallas, they used that to motivate them, that revenge, and they came back and won it the next season. Last year, it looked like the Spurs should have won. They were 28 seconds away from winning it. They lose that game six and then go on to lose game seven in the championship, and that fueled them this year. Even with these superstars and professionals, you can be motivated, can't you? Aren't we seeing that from what's happened in those two examples that I laid out right there?
Absolutely. Well, and you heard Tim Duncan before the series, Kenny. He said, you know, we're glad it's Miami. We're glad right. We're getting to play Miami. And people thought, well, you're just saying that. But no, that's what you're motivated by so much. It wouldn't have been as big of a deal for the Spurs if they were playing the Pacers. The fact that they lost a series last year, actually, like you just said, let it get away. Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody needs something to motivate them, even big-time professional athletes, and that's how it worked out for the Spurs. So we saw just how precise they were. You know, they were moments away in game two from winning that, which would have been a sweep. So they thoroughly dominated it and obviously motivated by that loss last year.
If there's one coach who maybe has figured out LeBron James, don't you think it's Greg Popovich? I mean, you mentioned it. Last year, they should have won. The Spurs gave it away. Merry Christmas to the Miami Heat. This year, they win it 4-1. It could have been a sweep. And then let's go back to 07, right? Now, granted, LeBron was young and the talent around him was questionable. But in 07, the Spurs sweep the Cavaliers, and they only beat them by an average of 6 points per game, whereas this year, with all that so-called talent on the Miami Heat, the Spurs beat the Heat by an average of 15.5 points per game, Sam. Yeah, granted, the Heat won one game, but that was by 2 points this year. But don't you think this is a bigger or a tougher loss or a more embarrassing loss in a series for LeBron than what happened in 07?
Yeah, in 07, the Cavs were happy to be there, and understandably so. They should have been happy to be there. You know, LeBron James was a young guy. They kind of upset Detroit that year in the playoffs. That was all actually their finals. So this is a team, Miami, by comparison, is a team that's supposed to be, you know, and I know they regret saying this, but the not one, not two, not three, you know, so they were supposed to be, when they built this team, this power. And to be honest, Kenny, when they built this team initially, when LeBron went there and Bosch joined Wade, I thought this is a team that's probably going to win five or six championships. You know, but the bottom line now is, even though you have the expectations from the Heat, Dwayne Wade isn't close to the same player he was 4 years ago. He was a hindrance a lot in the finals. He had his moments, good moments, but overall he was a hindrance. He couldn't defend anybody. He's playing on, you know, bad legs, bad wheels. Chris Bosh has always been neutralized by Duncan. And again, he had his moments, but, you know, and that's really where the Greg Popovich's strength was containing LeBron a little bit, finding a way to contain LeBron. And it's funny because he always uses a big guy on LeBron, like a Diaw, Boris Diaw, who has success against LeBron, because LeBron does not like, you know, he doesn't like going against those big body guys who body him up near the basket. Even though, you know, he's quick enough to get around them, they're physical, and I think it disrupts him mentally a little bit. And San Antonio always seems to be able to do that with him. Even last year when they lost, Wade just happened to have a big game. They did okay against LeBron. So, you know, obviously Pop, he knows what the heck he's doing. He's got five titles, and this team, this unit, being together so long, certainly plays into that.
If we were focusing on the Spurs tonight, we'd talk about how great Kawhi Leonard was against LeBron one-on-one, and he was the MVP and Tim Duncan and all that. But from a Cavaliers standpoint, we're focusing on LeBron and what comes next now that they've lost him. I think you and I were both in agreement that had the Heat won in these NBA Finals, had a three-peat, and would be going for a four-peat, that LeBron probably would stay with Miami for at least one more year and not opt out till the following year. Now that they've lost in the NBA Finals, what are the chances that LeBron and Chris Bosh opt out this offseason and LeBron looks for another team with better talent to help him win more championships? What do you think happens here?
It's a very interesting question, Kenny, and I'm not sure right yet that I have a gut on that. I could see him opting out and looking at the Cavaliers. I really could. Part of me could see that. Part of me has a hard time wrapping my brain around that, because now LeBron's a veteran guy. He may want to be surrounded by veteran guys. He's going to get that in Miami. At the same time, you think about your future. You think about who can extend my career a little bit. Even if the Cavs roster doesn't change at all, you've got Kyrie Irving, Deion Waiters, Tristan Thompson, a number one draft pick out of a very good draft coming in. And you know, you think about that if you're LeBron James. And, you know, hey, if this is the Charlotte Hornets that are the Cavs, I would say, no, LeBron's not going to do that. But because the Cavs are the Cavs and they're LeBron's first team, they're his hometown team, and he knows and his agent knows if he comes back, we've seen what's been going on with Johnny Manziel. LeBron will be Johnny Manziel times 10 if he comes back to Cleveland. And they're very aware of that. They know how that will explode, how it would be such a feel-good story. If LeBron goes back to Miami, no problem. You know what? He's the best player in the NBA. If he comes back to Cleveland, he's the best player in the NBA, and now this just blows up even bigger than ever. You know, so, I mean, those are all things that he has to think about and that I'm sure he's going to think about before he makes a final decision on that contract. But I suspect Miami or Cleveland, and I suspect he's going to opt out either way.
My gut feeling, Sam Amico, is he is going to opt out, and he's going to explore other options, so we'll see. He was asked about it tonight, and I wrote it down. Here's his quote in the postgame press conference. "I haven't even really thought about that yet," end quote. Later on, he was asked about it again, and he brought up his team, and they'll sit down and think about it. When he mentioned that, Sam, it was very similar to May 13, 2010 at the Boston Garden, the last game he played for the Cavaliers, when he said this after they lost and his season was over and he took the jersey off and everything. He said, "I want to win. That's my only thing, my only concern. I've given myself options to this point, me and my team. We will have a game plan that we'll execute and we'll see where we're at." I expect him to do the exact same thing, to look at all the options out there and see what gives him the best chance to win. Got to give him credit. Didn't like how he did it with the decision and everything, but he made the right move, Sam. Looking back on it, four straight years they've played in the NBA Finals, and they went 2-2. Now, granted, you'd like to go 4-0. Everybody'd like to go 6-0 like Michael. That doesn't always happen, but to go 2-2, that's pretty good. And regardless of what happens from this point forward, he's a two-time NBA champion. But I think it's going to be very similar to what he did back in 2010 with the Cavaliers. He wants, and it was interesting tonight, too, he didn't talk about the front office. He talked about, I play for my teammates. And I think that's the most important thing to him, which teammates will give him the best chance to win. Is it the Cavaliers? Is it, I don't know, the Chicago Bulls? Is there another team that we're forgetting about? Or maybe that puts a team together? I think he's going to go to the team that puts the best cast around him and gives the best chance to win.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Kenny. And you know what? Like you, it's funny that you're comparing those press conferences, because I sat there watching tonight's and thought, boy, this is eerily similar to 2010. You know, right. Because you can't, people can't hide things like that. You know, when you're out in the public eye so much, like LeBron is, it's hard to be able to hide what you're thinking. But to me, it's just like, boy, this looks a lot like 2010. I would suspect that he's going to opt out. I really suspect that, you know, hey, we don't know what's going to happen with New York. Maybe Carmelo leaves, and then all of a sudden that salary situation opens up with Phil Jackson there. You know, we don't know. I strongly, people always say, you know, what's your gut? Which is funny to me, because, I mean, my gut feeling is no closer to what they know when it comes to LeBron James, but I guess I'm supposed to be the expert or whatever. But my opinion, Kenny, is that, honestly, my gut is it's either going to be Cleveland or Miami. I don't foresee him going anywhere else, simply because I don't think he wants to gain a reputation at this point of his career as kind of a basketball vagabond who just goes from city to city chasing the next thing. I think that if he goes back to Miami, he'll look just fine and normal. If he comes to Cleveland, people will just think it's wow, out of this world. If he goes to New York, people are going to, you know, he's going to have to do that image control all over again. And I don't think that's necessarily what he wants to go through. So that's just my gut feeling. You know, hey, last time I thought he was coming back to Cleveland when he was actually a Cavalier before. So what do I really know? But that's just, again, that's just my gut feeling that it's either going to be Miami or Cleveland. And I couldn't tell you which one I would be leaning toward. Maybe slightly toward Miami.
We're talking with Sam Amico from FoxSportsOhio.com, NBA writer. Just hours after the NBA Finals came to a close, the Spurs win it 4-1, their fifth championship. Tim Duncan, his fifth title. LeBron now 2-3 in NBA Finals, beating the Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder, losing to the Spurs twice and the Dallas Mavericks, and wondering where this will put his career, where it will take his career next. Sam, when does he have to make a decision? Do you know when he has to decide whether to stay for another year with the Miami Heat or opt out and become a free agent?
Well, it's within the next few weeks, I would suspect. You know, that's always part of the contract, the language in the contract, I think. I don't think it's an NBA rule, but, you know, free agency starts July 1, so he would want to opt out before then if he's going to opt out, obviously, to begin that process of being courted and, you know, recruited in free agency and visiting people. If he were to opt out, he's definitely going to do it by July 1st. Then you can sign, you know, I believe July 10th or 11th is the day you can actually sign with a team. So, Kenny, he'll be coming up within the next few weeks. We should know, honestly, you know, what is a draft? 12 days, 11 days away. We should right. know right around the time of the NBA draft what he's going to do.
So how does this affect maybe what the Cavaliers do in the NBA draft? We're all expecting them to draft either Joel Embiid from Kansas, Andrew Wiggins from Kansas, or Jabari Parker from Duke. But now that LeBron loses, and if he announces before the NBA draft that he's going to be a free agent, what does this do to Dan Gilbert and David Griffin going into the draft, if indeed they do know that he's going to be a free agent, or if they don't know?
Well, I think that you have to go forward if you're the Cavaliers with your plans. You have to go forward taking the best guy. You know, if you end up thinking that guy's Jabari Parker, who's, you know, supposedly going to be a small forward in the NBA, the same position as LeBron, you go ahead and you take that guy. Because here's the thing. Even okay, first of all, you have to go ahead with your plans as they are, Kenny, because that's just the way you need to handle your business. But secondly, even LeBron is all encompassing. He doesn't have a position. You don't need to worry about that. You know, you could play him at power forward. So, I mean, that sense, it's not a big deal. But mostly you have to draft who you think is the best guy, you know, and right now we're not getting any indication who the Cavs think that is. But I don't think that, you know, you can't say, well, LeBron's opting out if we want him. You know, let's not get a small forward because he might not come back if we get a small forward. He's not going to – the draft probably is not going to impact LeBron's decision as much as, you know, the guys that he knows, like a Kyrie Irving, Deion Waiters, and a Tristan Thompson, those type of guys, will influence his decision more than Embiid, Wiggins, or Parker.
All right, what have you been hearing about Embiid? They had him in for a workout. They had him in for all the medical tests, Sam. What did you hear, if anything, about how those medical tests went and what that, I guess, effect will have on whether or not they draft him?
Well, I'll tell you what, I heard it checked out fine.
I heard the same thing, too. There have been reports that are conflicting reports from other media members and everything, but you and I and another guy that I respect a great deal that covers the NBA said he heard it checked out fine. And Bill Self, I did an interview with him. He told me his back is fine. So if that's the case, if what you're hearing, what I'm hearing is right, if his back checks out fine, is he number one on their draft board from what you're hearing?
No, I don't know if he is or not. I would say no, that it's not clear that he's number one. Hey, he's working out with the Bucks, you know, so read right there, no promises made by the Cavs if he's going to go work out with the Bucks and the Sixers, you know. So obviously that, and you know what, so are Parker and Wiggins going to work out with the Bucks and Sixers. So the Cavs have not said anything to anybody tipping their hand in any way, or these guys wouldn't be going to work out for these other teams. So, that's
a
one
smart
thing
move, don't you think, from David Griffin's
standpoint? Oh, absolutely.
You don't want to tip your hand.
No, you don't. You want to own that draft, you know.
Yeah.
And especially going into that night of draft. Kenny, the bottom line is we may not know who they're going to draft until the day, until Adam Silver gets up there and calls that pick, kind of like last year with Anthony Bennett. So I think if you own the number one pick, and it's not an Anthony Davis type or, you know, going a ways back, a Patrick Ewing type, where you know that guy's number one, LeBron James, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, those type of guys. If you can not let people know, I think that's to your advantage. So that's probably what's going to be the case. You know, I was told throughout the season, the number one guy throughout the college basketball season was Jabari Parker. Not, they weren't expecting to win the lottery, but they had Jabari Parker at the top of their draft board, you know. So, and I think right after the lottery, they still did have Jabari Parker there. And a lot of times, Kenny, after everything's all said and done, they go back to the guy who's the number one guy on their draft board. So that might give Parker the edge. But again, that could have changed since they've worked out Embiid, they'll work out Wiggins and Parker later this week. I think it'll be a very interesting pick. I know for a fact that they really like all three of them. It's not like they're thinking, we're so undecided. You know, these guys has this flaw, this guy has this. I don't think they're looking at it that way. It seems to me like we really like all three of these guys. We're going to have to make a determination here. Obviously, Embiid's back is a little bit of a concern, whether it's been red flagged or not, because of, you know, he had that issue at 18 or 19. That's something that's always going to be, you know, need to be monitored throughout the course of an 82 games when you're playing in the low post. So it's a very interesting draft, and the Cavs are very fortunate to be holding that top pick.
The last thing before I let you go, Sam Amico, we've talked LeBron, we've talked NBA draft. They still don't have a coach to coach LeBron or Embiid or Jabari Parker or Andrew Wiggins, whoever's on this team. Next year, when do you think we're going to find out who the next coach of the Cavaliers is, and is there a leader in the clubhouse from what you're hearing?
You know, I don't think that there's a leader. I think that it may be down to a three-man race now between David Blatt, the Maccabi Tel Aviv coach, Tyronn Lue, and Alvin Gentry, who both Clippers assistants. So, you know, I think that obviously they're talking to Blatt this week. They've interviewed Gentry and Lue twice now. The only thing I know is that I heard that that Alvin Gentry, obviously Dan Gilbert's familiar with him from Alvin Gentry's days with the Pistons. He obviously coached the Suns as well. But I heard that Alvin Gentry would have to really wow Dan Gilbert during that second interview. And then I've heard that they really liked Tyronn Lue's passion, his offensive mindset, and obviously Blatt. They wanted to talk to face-to-face. They talked to him on the phone. And I think that David Blatt feels like he's the front runner, which made him so confident to leave Maccabi Tel Aviv and then, you know, come to the States, where he feels like, you know what, I must be the front runner, and all I got to do is go meet with these guys face-to-face, and then I'll have my decision between Cavaliers head coaching job or the Warriors lead assistant with Steve Kerr. So, you know, I think if I had to take a stab at it, I'd probably say David Blatt's the front runner. But, you know, things can change. They've cast a wide net. And as David Griffin said, it's not a race. They're not in a big hurry here. But, you know, the bottom line is you got to get a guy in there, I would think, before free agency starts, because right after free agency is summer league. So you got to get all that stuff set up.
It's going to be a fun next month, Sam. We're talking number one overall pick for the Cavaliers, hiring a head coach, and finding out if LeBron James is going to be on the free agent market. I know you'll be covering it. I'll be covering it. Where can people get all your stuff? Where can they find information from you so they're on top of all this?
Well, obviously. And you know what, Kenny, by the way, we didn't even talk about Kyrie's max extension, too. So there we go in July. But they can
when
read
it all.
When
does that do, by the way? When do they have to make that offer to Kyrie, since you brought it up?
Well, you know what, in July 1st, when all that free agency stuff starts, that's typically when those talks begin, is when they can offer that and when Kyrie can sign it. So, yeah, we're talking July right there, too. So it's going to be really big July after the really big June.
Where can they find all this information, Sam, if they want to follow you on Twitter or read about it? Give everybody the locations and the handles where they can follow you.
Well, obviously, FoxSportsOhio.com. You know, I write two or three things a day leading up to the draft. It's only going to get more intense and more busy. So, obviously, you can find all my stuff there. And then Twitter, it's Sam Amico, FSO, for Fox Sports Ohio.
Very simple for everybody out there. Make sure you follow Sam on Twitter. We follow each other. We retweet stuff. So, if we get any information, you'll be able to be on top of it with the Cavaliers by following Sam and yours truly at Kenny Rota. Sam, always a pleasure. Thanks for making time for me, bud, and we'll be in touch with each other, I'm sure, over the next month. It's going to be a busy one for both of us.
It should be a lot of fun, Kenny, and thanks a lot for having me.
Always a pleasure. Sam Amico checking in with us here tonight on the Rota Report, brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444, or check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.